Is this thing on?
This is Artscape, an investigation into the artistic and cultural landscape of our region, with your hosts, Katie and Harold. For the next hour, we are going to take a journey through sound and storytelling.
This podcast is brought to you by CFUV 101.9 FM, located on the unceded territories of the Lekwungen and Wasanik peoples, created with the generous support from the BC Arts Council. Join us as we uncover the people, happenings, and organizations
that make up the artscape in which we live.
Artwork.
Ooh.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Sounds pretty good.
So, Katie, self-taught or education versus self-taught? That's the...
No.
No?
That's not the conflict at hand. Institution versus self-taught. I mean, I think that's the core of what we're talking about.
Oh, I see. Institution versus self-taught, right. Which one do you think is the route to a successful arts career?
It's interesting because if we want to make it personal, I went to college and I took two different programs. I did like photography, which was very technical, wasn't very art related, but then they were like, okay, well, if you want to, you can use your 2 years in photography to do like a fine arts program. And I was like, yeah, like I really love fine arts and I feel like that's been missing. So went into that and started doing fine arts. So my third and fourth year were with all the fine arts students when I'd been in this very like technical realm with my photography.
Okay.
And then, you know, they were like, oh, you know, we're doing this articulation with this university and you can have a degree. Ooh, fancy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I only have to take another year. Okay, sure, why not?
And you went for it.
I went for it. But you know what? I actually think that I've learned way more doing the whole like self-taught route.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's my position.
I see. But wouldn't you say that the education allows for you to gain some really important skills for an artist, like learning to write grants, learning how to present yourself in a professional way?
Sure. But actually, me doing it in the field, like I started to work at this art gallery and I actually got the job from volunteering there. Mm. You know, I learned way more from actually doing the grant and failing and also succeeding at it than I ever did doing this like mock kind of grant situation in school.
That could be. Hmm. But can you even get art shows if you don't have the education on your CV, the BFA and the MFA? I'm pretty sure that that's prerequisite for a lot of galleries.
I'm gonna cite Sean Shepherd. He's a self-taught artist in Victoria, and you know what? He started his own gallery. He runs Polychrome Fine Art, and he didn't need other institutions to prop him up. He started his own institution, and he started presenting a bunch of his own work. And then from there, showing that he's had some shows and being very prolific as an artist, he got other shows in other places.
Sure. Of course, there's some special circumstances where the talent speaks for itself. But I'm speaking more generally here, that an arts education is highly empowering and it's an asset and it's vital. It's absolutely vital. It gives you skills. It gives you competencies. It makes you way more professional seeming.
And can I cut you off here, Harold?
Okay. Sure.
I would just like to say that there was a couple years in the last few years, actually, that I had a really hard time eating because of the amount of debt that I incurred. And, you know, I had five plus years of institutional history, and I, you know, didn't have a job. I applied constantly, over and over. I volunteered countless institutions just to get my foot in the door with my education. And you know what? I'm still $30,000 in the hole right now.
That's not very much. And but
I mean, that's over years of paying it off.
Oh, okay. I see. But I'm sure you made tons of fantastic connections throughout your time in university.
I gotta say, yeah, but
with lots of different curators and
those are all from volunteering though.
Perhaps you wouldn't even have known of those volunteer options had you have not gotten yourself involved with a credible institution.
I mean, I find this whole idea laughable because at the time I lived downtown and the gallery was actually about 10 to 20 steps away from my house. And you know what? To say that I needed this institution that was on the fringe of actually the city in which I was living in, it was actually quite far. It was like a half an hour away, while the gallery was actually like 20 steps away from where I was living. You know what? I didn't need that third party to tell me that I could walk into that gallery and sign up to volunteer with them, so...
Well, of course, there's pros and cons to every subject in life.
I'd be
interested, to perhaps hear from some different people that have gone the institutional route and that have gone the self-taught route and hear some of their reflections from throughout their career.
Yeah. Well, I believe that what will be shown is that my perspective is correct, and you definitely in no circumstance need the institution. And it's just a big fat waste of money.
Okay.
Especially within art.
I will take that argument and introduce you to my good friend Bill Zook.
Like some tea or something like that, or would you like some tea?
Oh no, I'm quite all right, thank you.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're here at Bill Zook's house, located just off of Mount Tomi, beside the University of Victoria. Thanks, Bill, for meeting with me and for contributing some words to Artscape.
You're welcome. I hope that this project results in a grand success.
Thanks, Bill. Well, we'll see how it goes. So maybe what you could do for me, Bill, is tell me a little bit about where we are right now and where we're sitting right now.
Well, we're sitting in the dining room of our house. And of course, on the one hand, I'm looking at a newly renovated kitchen, and on the other, a computer and a large printer, the living room area, which has been dominated in some respects by some of the things that I do in my studio.
Certainly, and that is quite a large printer, I have to say.
I haven't made as much use of it as I should be, and I want to, and I need to have somebody that will kind of work along with me to get this thing up and running the way it should. But it doesn't stop me from doing what I do, because I'm involved not only in the two-dimensional area of the arts, but I'm involved in sculptural work and I'm involved in film work, so it doesn't stand in the way.
Great. So about the printer there, What kind of printer would we call that's a large format printer of some kind?
Yeah, it prints a 4 foot wide pieces of artwork, but it'll create 55 foot long pieces of artwork if you want it. The other thing it's capable of doing is, of course, printing on various kinds of substrates, which means that it will print on cloth, can print on other kinds of materials. And I've always had some thought about printing on fabric which can be worn as sculptural pieces, and it relates to some of the things that I've been doing with some ideas that come from Mount Ptolemy, and we're right on the slopes of Mount Ptolemy here.
Fantastic. So it seems like you've got everything you need here to get into some serious art making. You've got the renovated kitchen, the large format printer, computer, and a wealth of naturalistic inspiration at your doorstep as well.
Yeah, and just, every morning when we come into almost any one of the rooms here, we get a sense of what it's like outside because we're almost up at treetop level. So we can see, we have a 270 degree view when we look out to get a glimpse of the Olympics from here, or the Souk Hills, or the Malahat, or the Dominion Observatory. And as I keep coming around, even in some cases, we can see the mountains over in the Vancouver area. We can see little tiny snow caps and so on. Mm-hmm. The only view we don't have is the sunrise, but we can live with 270 degrees up. So that really influences us from the interior of the house. And then, of course, Mount Ptolemy's right here, so it's so accessible.
So here I was, nestled in the cozy home of Bill Zook, Professor Emeritus of Art Education at the University of Victoria. He is also an accomplished digital artist, printmaker, and sculptor who has spent decades exploring and recording his ideas in a wide range of media. With over 200 published artworks, commissions, and exhibitions, Bill is recognized internationally as an artist, but also as an art teacher with 50 years of teaching experience. With a master's in art education from the University of Alberta, PhD in art education from the University of Oregon, Bill Zook not only teaches art, but he teaches how to teach art, and did so at the University of Victoria for multiple decades, all the while acting as co-editor of the BC Art Teachers Association Journal. His accomplishments and involvements are endless. Bill Zook is the embodiment of art education and the wonderful possibilities and journeys that lie within it. What a better example to show Katie the true values of art education. I really wanted to ask Bill about his career. And when I asked him about his greatest accomplishments, I was greatly surprised. Despite all of his publications and exhibitions, he humbly tributes his greatest accomplishments to a period of time spent teaching, living, and learning in the high Arctic.
So I'm going to ask you a broader question right now before we get into some of the more details. And
sure.
I'm just curious, in all of your career with UVic and in your own personal arts career, what accomplishment do you feel is the one that you're most proud of?
Gosh. I think there's a variety of things that have occurred. One of them would have been my connection with the high Arctic and that third border of Canada, the Arctic experience, that north that pulled me, attracted me early in my teaching career. Mm-hmm. And I spent several years in the high Arctic as a teacher. And of course, I was greatly inspired and influenced by the Aurora Borealis, but certainly the culture of the people. I was in an area called Igloolik, which was the richest archaeological area in, I would say, maybe even in Canada. And the ruins there dated back to to 2000 BC. So in middens that were just very, very shallow, you could find various kinds of artifacts. Mm-hmm. And you could find these artifacts very readily. Mm-hmm. So I had my students involved in a rescue archaeology project because there were going to be bulldozing and airstrip in the area. And of course, I learned about the art and the culture and the early history of the people. And yeah, we were connected with the National Museum of Canada in that project, and the students in my class became very aware of the local history. And I kept, you know, instead of running social studies programs by them that were really unrelated to their life from the south, I was able to kind of create a curriculum for them that was based on some of the things that related to their heritage.
I see.
So I think that was a huge, huge experience being in the Arctic for a number of years. And of course, I continued to make visits and do workshops and appear at conferences, you know, right through my university career. Those experiences in the Arctic followed me right through my career. It helped to connect me with the art. It certainly helped to connect me with the culture. So both art and culture were very significant in that experience to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a really meaningful time there and opportunity. And where were you in your education when you moved up there?
The very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right at the beginning. I had a closing in on a bachelor of education, but it was a bachelor of education was more general in nature, and I think I realized that with some of the experiences I was having there, I mean, I was seeing prints emerging from some of the co-ops that were there, and I saw sculptures that were being created, and it suggested to me that I should really begin to, in a formal way, look at what I could do to add to my experiences in terms of an art education, mm-hmm. in terms of studio courses. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that really influenced me big time.
I see. And that's what attracted you to go up north, because you had witnessed or seen some different pieces?
No, it was more of an adventure.
Oh, okay.
More of an adventure to begin with. It was sort of, we need teachers mm-hmm. in the Arctic. And I went, well, mm-hmm. what a better place to go. Although some people would say, well, why would I want to go so far away to such cold places? Mm-hmm. And I viewed it in a different way. I went, well, what is happening there? And who's living there? What are the people like? How are they? You know, I saw pictures of dog teams and igloos being built, and when I was there, it was the dog team, and it was the igloo, and the people that were there knew how to build igloos, and they were master architects. They could build an igloo, two people building an igloo using saws and snow knives in the place where I was at, called Igloolik, which meant place of igloos. They could build it, and I recorded it 2 years in a row. They were able to build it in under 8 minutes.
It sounds like to me education's been this vehicle that's allowed you to travel up north and to have this amazing adventure up there.
Yeah, well, the teaching experience was.
Bill had lots of stories to tell me about how his career in art education had taken him all around the world. But as our conversation developed, I began to sense some of his struggles. The truth is, it wasn't always that easy existing as an artist within the institutional world.
Highly academic. Very little studio goes on at a PhD level, regrettably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've spoken with many artists who say most of their time, once they get to a certain level, just goes into the writing and the research and preparation for grants and these sorts of things,
yep.
and so little into the actual creative time, which to me sounds kind of absurd, but I guess it's just the nature of turning the arts into a career.
Well, even here at the University of Victoria, where I was, had been teaching for over 30 years, it was always, I felt I was riding on a fence. I had to kind of satisfy academia with the writing and the pursuing grants of one kind or another. And on the other hand, I had to justify why it was important to do studio, and I had to make sure that I was looking at things that dealt with equivalency. How is the studio experience equivalent to the writing of an article? And I would say, well, when I write an article, I try to get that article into a refereed journal, which means that somebody who's judging the quality of the work has to be at a high standard. On the other hand, I had to say, you know, look, there's an equivalent here. Equivalent is a studio, and I will be in juried exhibitions. And the juried exhibitions have, you know, a panel of judges and so on who look at the work and say, is it worthy to be in this exhibition? So I had to persuade people that my studio work was equally important to the other work that I would do. It was what I call academic, the academic writing.
Mm-hmm. I see. Do you think that if you hadn't pursued education, that you would have perhaps had more time for doing your own art things? Or do you think maybe that the education was informing your arts practice all the while? Or
yeah, I think, because I was destined to sort of be on this career path, which went from, you know, a teacher in a school to an instructor at the university, and then of course, you know, the ladder was there for me to climb, and so it worked out quite well. It was a pretty smooth path, clear path, maybe not a smooth one, but a clear one. Yeah.
So I'm sensing that you still had plenty of time for your arts practice in your bachelor and master's levels, but it wasn't until the PhD that maybe you had to step back.
I had to step back, and it took me a couple of years before I got back into it.
Why is that?
I think it was doing work at the PhD level was pretty intensive. It involved a lot of writing and clearing, working your way through editing and so on. It just wasn't as much room to do the studio.
Was it helpful to have sort of the university's backing when you would go to apply for arts grants?
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Yeah. But many of the grants that I had over the years, or that I was involved in with others, through collaboration, they often involved art and cultural matters. And often the academic part of the university is really quite interested in the cultural end of things, meaning that they were interested in how the dynamics of culture and how culture changes and so on, which didn't connect as it maybe should when you consider the studio. The studios seem to be really quite different from that experience. But over the years, there was support. Once I was able to clarify to groups and committees and so on, I was able to, the university, the faculty in which I was involved, they saw that there were exhibitions that were being held on a regular basis, faculty art exhibitions. There were things that we were doing to take our ideas out into the community, to share some of these ideas or mentor people about the studio. You begin to find ways to support what you're doing in the studio, but it takes a while to sort of grow it and to refine it and to convince people.
Of course. What would you say to someone who says, nobody needs art school, all you need is time in your studio?
Well, I think it depends on the nature of the formal experience. If you have a person who's able to listen and understand and can help you to grow, to evolve your ideas, and I think that's where collaboration comes involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not very often that, say with graduate students, that there's a collaboration that takes place, but I know that collaboration is probably one of the best ways to learn about something that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the best ways for somebody to complement what you're doing. And it's the best way to push an idea
mm-hmm.
to its full extent so that it becomes way bigger than you ever had imagined.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why what I've been doing with. I've always been involved in teaming and collaborating in some way, and sometimes it's done more closely with someone, and sometimes it's just two people sharing. It's one thing to share, it's another for two people come together in a collaborative way where they're bouncing ideas one off the other, and where the end result is you can't distinguish one person's contribution from the other.
Mm-hmm. I thought if you elaborate a little bit on what we were talking about before, when I approached you and wanted you to be in this interview and talking to you about formal education versus self-taught, or an arts education versus self-taught, and you countered that with the title of informal education. And so it seems like a lot of your education came to you informally.
Yes.
Where a lot of it is actually self-taught. You or perhaps maybe you had mentors along the way, or for example with the friend you were just mentioning who you collaborate with for your animation.
Yeah, I mean, one of my earliest experiences was my uncle's influence. My uncle was a master carpenter, cabinet builder, and inventor. He invented the weed eater long before it was ever presented commercially. He created, he used a vacuum cleaner motor. It was my uncle's influence.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing him create, his mind was just working in some, wonderful ways. And I guess he started me off on sort of building structures and things. He would come out to where we lived and he'd say, well, okay, we have to build this granary, or we have to build some other thing. I began to learn about tools, the hammer, the saw. First I was cutting things off at angles, and he'd show me how to square things up and so on. So he was a tremendous influence in my life, because I could see creative ideas just sort of emerging from him, and his ideas was not just one idea. He'd create something out of this material and something else, and then he'd say, well, look what would happen if you did this with this material. Look what would happen if you took a young sapling, a tree, two trees. Look what would happen if you tied them together or wound them around one another and then watch them grow. And so in his yard he'd create these walking sticks with trees that had been intertwined and in different ways, and I think it took maybe 5 or 6 years before you could actually cut them down to create a walking stick. But he was, it was just all kinds of things going on in his mind. So that was quite an influence, he was, in a way, he was a mentor. He wasn't telling you should do this or you should do that in a particular way, but I could see the way he was working with ideas and with things, and that had quite an influence on me.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. When I was at the university, I was able to, I found this piece of jade in a pawn shop. It's really a paperweight, a little silver ring was on it. It was in the pawn shop, and I was able to get a hold of it, and I was able to slab off several pieces that night. I created enough jewelry and sold it so that I was able to pay my rent and where I was staying at a kind of a college residence. Mm-hmm. So I've hung on to this because it's something that...
That must have been a big paperweight when it started.
Well, it's several slabs have come off it. Uh-huh. And I was able to slice them and then create pieces that are similar.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you've dabbled in pretty much everything.
Well, as I said, this is part of that evolution on the path to becoming a multimedia artist. Mm-hmm. So I just felt that it was... this is part of the informal experience. This was nothing... there were no courses that I took... in sculpture. There were no courses that I took in jewelry making, although there are many institutions that offer courses in that area. So this was part of that informal education mm-hmm. that became quite important.
Katie, I think we've been going about this all wrong. It's not institutional art versus self-taught. Everyone is self-taught. Whether you're institutional or not. And sure, institutional art education has its benefits and challenges.
Yeah.
What I'm really getting from Bill is that the real conflict here is formal versus informal art education, not self-taught versus institutional. Who came up with that? Bill Zook is an institutional archetype, but he is also self-taught. Okay, well, this sort of ruins the whole trajectory of the episode, because if everyone is self-taught to some degree, then... Okay, Katie, I just need to leave. This episode's kind of falling apart.
Okay, it sounds pretty good.
No, I think I'm just gonna go.
What?
I need to leave.
But...
I'm leaving.
Honestly, Harold, what... Where are you going?
Okay, so I decided to go out on the town on a Saturday night and talk to some artists, random people, or anyone I could find about this notion of art and education, because I'm pretty confused, and I need answers, and I need to figure out where this episode is going right now. So I'm just going to go outside and just start talking to people other than Katie about education. Oh, but Katie's words are still in my head, and I just can't get them out.
I'm always with you, Harold.
Are you an artist?
Define artist.
Do you make art and stuff? Do you make art? Are you an art king?
No.
You don't? Okay.
No, I'm not.
So, are you an artist?
Yeah, in a sense, I guess.
Hey, are you an artist?
Yes.
Hi there, are you an artist?
Yes, I am an artist.
Are you an artist?
Yes, my name is Graham Busada, and I play music under the name of Busada.
Are you an artist?
Depends.
Are Sometimes, you an artist?
Yes. Something I'd been resisting for a long time. My mother was an artist, and I felt like I couldn't be an artist and still have my own identity.
So this is for a podcast about the arts and cultural landscape of Victoria. And I'm just looking and talking to different people who are artists. Are you an artist?
Depends. Sometimes, yes. Yes? What?
Yes.
Yes. All right, the man in the red hat says yes, so I'm going to agree.
Okay, good. Good.
And do you go to school?
No, I'm done now.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Nice. And how was that experience for you?
It was good. It was a lot, but it was good. Oh, overall, just like a solid time.
Yes.
No, this is
one of those.
I feel so awkward.
This is excellent.
Superb.
Yes. And so do you feel that you learned more about art?
Yes and no. I think I learned different parts of it. I think it's an institution like any university, so I learned that part of it.
Yes. It seems we all kind of.
I don't know, there are
the
things that I went into it knowing that didn't change the way that I feel about what I do. So yeah, yes and no.
Yes and no.
That's groovy.
Super groovy.
Did you feel like you were listened to while you were, did you have someone to talk to counsel with?
Again, yes and no. I think that there are certain
people who you relate to, obviously, like mentor-wise, but I think peers in terms of same boatage, that's where you're all in, right? Like, you're all there. So bouncing everything off of your peers, I think, was a lot more helpful than, like, than a mentor, I guess.
I know. Friends are free.
It's super cool.
And they don't cost $30,000.
So what was stretching.
Just one last question. Thank you guys for your patience in doing this with me.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
My mouth is dry.
Just wondering, what was the biggest take home for you after having gone to art school?
The degree. No. It was a really good experience, I think. Like, it was a 4-year roller coaster. It was good. It was, you learn some things, you like question some stuff about yourself, I guess. Biggest take home, though, I have a lot of actual stuff now, so that's pretty cool. No, the biggest take home, I guess, would be the way that I think about art in a more institutionalized setting. But it hasn't changed how I feel about art in the world, or myself in the world.
Yeah, and that was free.
Could you, you don't have to actually introduce yourself if you don't feel comfortable. You can just say that I'm anonymous and you can give a fake age. But what's your name?
It's Emma Brooks.
And
22.
Okay, so you're 22 years old.
Which is not a prime number.
All right. Thank you so much.
Super. Yep. My mouth is
You want to do another one?
Nope.
Emma, okay, so you want a formal education to be able to think about art in a more institutional setting. Alright, well, that was interesting, but I need to keep searching.
Hey, are you an artist?
Yes.
Oh, what's your name?
My name's Zane Vuchar.
And how old are you?
I'm within the range of 18 to 26.
Oh, I see.
Young man. I'm a young man.
And what kind of art do you do?
It's a mix of digital media and, I guess, under the umbrella term, mixed media. So just using a lot of different things to create different things.
And did you go to school for this?
For a couple of years, I went to UVic to do an undergrad in fine arts. And then I left after 2 years.
Oh, you left, Zane.
What made you leave?
Probably the amount of money that it cost.
Cha-ching.
And the realization that I could do what I wanted outside of the framework that was there.
You don't say.
Without spending that much money, essentially. Realized I could do what I wanted without spending as much money.
And what was that that you wanted to do that you realized you could do without that much money?
It was anything. It was like art shows or collaborating with other people on different things. Just being more a part of the art scene in the city, I realized just took me actually being engaged in the city and not necessarily in the bubble of the university.
Oh, yeah.
Last question. Do you feel like had you have stayed in art school, you'd be in any different of a place than you are now?
Who needs the university?
I would have had a degree. I would have had maybe more time to meet other people to work on future projects with. I would maybe have a larger body of work, but not very much different, though.
Zane, formal education is just too expensive. Right, yeah, it's quite pricey. Okay, I wonder who else I can find.
Well, what's your name?
My name is Anna Shkuratov, and I make video art.
And did you go to art school?
I did. I went to UVic.
Oh, cool. When did you graduate?
I graduated, well, I kind of graduated right now, like a week ago. Well, I'm still a student, but I'm done my courses.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And how was art school for you?
I thought it was good. I've never known otherwise. I've only ever went to art school versus any other school.
Did you learn, like, technical skills and stuff like that?
I think I had support in learning more technical skills than I already had, but I don't think it was ever taught to us. I think they gave us resources if we wanted to pursue it on our own time, but that was basically it. So you had to kind of learn on your own if you wanted to learn how to do, like, use a certain camera or use, like, video editing software. It's, like, up to you to tackle that, which I think is okay because, I don't know, I can learn things on my own when I want to.
Self-taught.
Yeah.
So was anything actually taught to you, or did you have to figure it out on your own?
What was taught to me was what makes art interesting, or how to discern if something is exciting, I think. Because I think we can get caught up in what's visually pleasing versus what has tension or like a guts to it. So it's hard to know what's what until you get good at looking at stuff, and I think having people guide you in thinking about what you're seeing, people who've seen more than you've seen, can help you understand what you see.
You mean program you.
I see. So then what you got out of going to the UVix art program was someone to talk to.
I think, yeah, that sounds very minimalized. Like, I think it was more than that. But that is essentially what it was people who knew a lot about art when I didn't know anything, who could tell me what I was doing that was strong and what wasn't strong, so that I could understand what to do.
What's this innate desire to want to make art?
I guess that can vary for a lot of people. I think I just feel like I have a contribution from something that I want people to know about, or like to know what I'm thinking about something. And also to contribute to the canon, the art canon, as they call it. Yeah, I think that would be cool to have some ideas that I thought up be important one day. Yeah.
And perhaps you have a better chance of making that happen with an arts degree?
I think so, at least in this type of art, like the academic school, you know, the institutionalized art. I think, you know, obviously going to an institution is going to help you get in that. Just the way I think if you were a philosopher or an English major, having taken an English degree or a philosophy degree would help you analyze literature or write literature at that level, I think. I think it's comparable. Yeah. Maybe.
So you're happy you went to art school. You don't regret it.
I don't regret it at all. No, I think I'm so interested in art and art criticism, and I think that kind of stuff wouldn't be as accessible to me had I not learned the lingo in art school. Yeah. I wish it was more accessible to people who are in art school, but it's a learning process, and in art school they teach you that. So
expensive lingo.
That's awesome. That's so great. Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anna, an arts degree will help in the institutional world. Art criticism wouldn't be accessible otherwise. Okay.
Oh, my name is Steven Bjornsson.
I see. And who are these people you're standing with?
This is my crew.
Do you go to art school?
Technically, yes.
Why?
It was... it was an option.
Okay.
And I felt like it would be interesting to explore.
What kind of art do you do?
I guess digital art. My medium I would consider to be data and electrons and photons.
Uh-huh. And did you go to school for this for photons and electrons?
Sort of. I am kind of in school for it, sort of.
And are you finding school is helping you with your art?
Sounds like he learned it on his own.
I've never thought about it. I have no idea.
Do you think that you could be doing the things that you do now without art school?
Okay, you know, like, if it's, like, if this is, like, a all things considered equal sort of situation, probably, yeah. But I would say that going to school for what I'm studying has led me to a position that I could not have gotten to otherwise, and I would not have the ideas that I have without having the challenges that have come from art school, from school in general. The sort of situations that you're placed into by the university experience. So influences, classes you're taking, things you might not have ever thought about get integrated into what you're doing. So I guess no, but yes.
I see. So perhaps the facilities and the teachers are a bonus?
Yeah, the resources really help. I think it's like, to me, that's the only thing I'm really interested in, is that the university has a lot of resources. And if you want to use them and you like or feel like you want to use your time effectively, then you use those resources to their fullest. You find sort of every situation that, every advantage that university can provide you, and you try and pull it out. So, you know.
Do you feel supported at university doing your arts degree?
Yeah, I feel like there's like a lot of people around that, it's like part of how I think the university culture works is that you're around like-minded people. And I would say fundamentally there is support from that. People that you know who are in school, you're all kind of like schlogging together. You're all like working and like busting your ass to study stuff and to learn and grow and expand. And so you support each other. It's, I think that's primarily where the support is. There is a fair bit of support from like professors who do care, but ultimately, I don't think universities themselves are particularly supportive. I don't think the structure of a university is particularly supportive.
Steve, formal education provides all the great resources of the institution and helps with the expansion of ideas.
I'm Meredith. I've been living in Victoria for a couple years, and I've just recently started in September of 2015 at Vancouver Island School of Art. So I'm just in my first year there, exploring different mediums, trying different things, just trying to get sort of a more well-rounded experience as an artist.
So other than going to art school for the sake of having access to the resources and the media or the materials and stuff, was there any other reason why you decided to go to art school? Because it's really expensive and you could have stayed at home
very expensive.
And made a big body of work and sold it and shown in galleries all the same.
Absolutely.
So.
I sort of felt that it is with sort of any program a way to meet people, a way to make connections sort of. And I felt that for the most part self-taught artists are sort of ostracized by a lot of the art community. You won't show in galleries the same way, and you won't really have the same tools of the trade. Whether that's true or not, I don't actually know. That's sort of just the impression I was given, was that you need to have like a BFA minimum to sort of succeed and sell yourself. Yeah.
So fear.
Fear, yeah, I guess.
Fear,
you could boil it down. You could boil it down to that. Also, just, I really wanted to, yeah, just expand my own knowledge. And I felt that I wasn't capable of sort of maybe just motivating myself to push myself to my furthest limits, sort of. The thing when you're working alone is if you're inspired by something, some sort of whim, you have the time to follow it, you have the time to explore it, and it can lead you to like your best ideas, these sort of mistakes. Whereas in art school, if you make a mistake, you're sort of just panicking because you're like, how do I fix this in order to make this acceptable to like pass this class? It definitely does come down to timelines and finished product, whereas the process is so much more important when you're sort of working on your own. And so I would say, yeah, it can feel a little contrived for sure. Just you're learning skills, and so sometimes the assignments don't feel that inspiring. But in the end, you are learning skills. It is like any other sort of sport or music practice where you play scales, like you draw whatever, you know, lots of just life drawings, and it teaches you something even if you're not fully engaged in the moment.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Meredith. Self-taught artists. formally educated ones are ostracized. You don't want to be ostracized. But you can't really follow your mistakes in art school, that's true. Kind of got to stick to the assignments. Okay, I wonder who else I can find.
Yes, my name is Graham Busada, and I play music under the name of Busada.
How did you learn to play music?
I think that I'm still very much learning to play music. I don't think that there's ever been a, you know, it's just endless learning. But I've definitely learned to play music by just playing music.
Yeah, you know, yeah, just self-taught, oh yeah.
Trying to write music.
Working it out.
Did you ever go to school?
I have, like, in high school I was in music class. So that was probably the last formal music training I had.
But just what about in general? Did you go to university?
I did, yeah, yeah. But not for music. But
for what?
I studied environmental studies.
And then, but you ended up, are you pursuing environmental studies on the daily?
I would say that's like a life quest kind of thing.
I see.
I wouldn't say that I, yes. So
Where's the majority of your energy going to?
I would say into music for sure.
Did you ever take any formal lessons for music?
See, man.
Good night.
I definitely have had musical lessons before. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Do you have any documentation of your musical credential by any means?
I don't think so, no, not that I can think of.
So you never got a certificate or anything like that?
There's definitely no certificates that I know of.
A certificate, Harold?
Do you feel like you'd benefit from going to school for something like electronic music production or something like that?
Like, if I were to go to school for music, I think I would probably do like jazz guitar, jazz keys or something. I would try to like get good enough to apply to a program and then get really good on keys or on guitar. But you don't really, like, school is helpful. You don't need to do that to learn music. You just gotta practice all the time. Do I want to make a living playing music?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's such a hard question, man, because like so many musicians are making amazing music and struggling at times. And so do I want to be a successful creative person that's able to create their art however they want and make money doing that? Like, absolutely. Like, number one, that would be an amazing thing to happen. Yeah, I definitely want that.
Do you think that if you had gone to, like, school for your art, that you'd be better off now?
You mean, like, or,
yeah,
broker?
I think the main way to grow and develop as an artist is to have a community of people that are doing cool stuff with you and in similar ways that you can like learn and bounce
friends.
Off of.
Friends are free.
And so I feel like just going to school in and of itself is not going to make you a good artist, but if the school you go to provides you with the opportunity to meet and to collaborate and to do amazing things with other great artists, that's going to put you miles ahead, you know, kind of helping to build a community for you, you know, and to have the resources and stuff to then make that happen. But I think, like, when I think of my idols as artists, like, they had a crew of people, or, you know, people that they hung out with and played epic music with, and they just made the best music from doing it, you know. And I'm sure that they do have training, but like, it's kind of all fiction, like this paying like tens and 20 to thousands of dollars to go to school. It's valuable, but like, ultimately you gotta hang out with people that inspire you, and you gotta really practice a lot. So if you can find conditions in your life to make that happen, I think you can go to school, you know, and like the certificate is not necessarily what's required.
Okay, well, people were really not selling me on going to school, and the voice of Katie was just playing loudly in my head throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sensing some themes going on. Certainly that money is a great hindrance to formal education, and that what we all really need is a community that we can work with. And that's probably the most important thing. But I don't know, this just isn't really working. I need to take some more space. Maybe I need to get off this island for a while. Maybe go to Vancouver. I think I could find a reason, an excuse to leave and make it seem like it's for work or something. And actually, I think I heard this weekend that there's this CAGE symposium going on, the Canadian Art Gallery Educators Conference. Maybe I could go there and find some answers. Yeah, that's perfect. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna take some days off work. Justin Langlois is supposed to be doing a presentation there about his free school. That doesn't require you to pay. That's perfect. I'm just gonna go to Vancouver. And you know what? I really don't care what CFUV or what anyone else thinks of that. This is just something I gotta do. I'm not gonna rest till I show Katie and the rest of the world that art school is the way to go. I just know it is. I feel it.
So, Harold didn't show up for work today. I wonder where he is. Harold? Maybe he's in the other studio. Yeah. No. He's not there. Okay, so maybe I'll just check my email. Yeah. Okay, so, well, it looks like he left town. Great. This episode is literally never gonna get done. Great. What am I gonna tell Johnny? Oh! I see a note from him. Dear Katie, I went to Vancouver to figure out this episode. I'm going to the CAGE conference. Be back soon. Hopefully. So there went Harold, embarking on a journey to figure out for himself the ultimate mode of art education. Formal or informal? That is the question. Ah, poor guy. I wish he wasn't so hard on himself. This is a challenging episode for him. Harold is an art teacher, and he works so hard to become one. So I think it is hard for him to admit that the self-taught route is superior. But you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to figure these things out. Well, I wish Harold was here to do this conclusion with me. You know, he takes education really seriously, and he wants to be sure this is a serious episode. But you know what? I'm quite proud of Harold for missing work and going against this radio institution for the sake of his own art journey. I wish he could see the irony there. In the meantime, I'm just going to keep channeling him messages, and hopefully he finds his way. Tune in to the next episode to see what happens to Harold in Vancouver, or if he ever decides to come back to work.